So today in our gospel, we have a lot of turf to cover. So we're only going to go a couple hours. It starts out, Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And they hedge their bets, saying, "Well, others say this and that." And Jesus said, "Yeah, okay, so who do you say? Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you're the Messiah." And right away, Jesus says, "Shh, don't tell anybody." Because the word Messiah had all kinds of baggage with it that implied a revolution and military and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus was so not about that. Then he says, if you want to follow, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. And that's the background for these hard words. What does it profit you if you gain everything in the world and it costs you your life? I suspect these are words we've all tossed around in one way or another over the years. What's it all about? What's it all for? Now, when we hear Jesus' words about money, we assume they just come out of the blue, but there's a context. Yet when we hear them, we suddenly get defensive. But this is not about money per se. It's about who and what will be our gods in our lives. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am? Will I be first or the stuff in your pockets?" So what do we live for? See, when we hear these words, we get defensive because it is common to devote ourselves to getting what we have, and because our society says the more we have, the more important we are, enough is never enough. And then if money and the stuff it buys does not deliver on those hopes, we assume the answer is, oh, we must need more. If we believe getting money is the purpose of our lives, then we are not going to have a life. See, we need to remember that money is just a tool. It is just a tool to live a life. It is not life itself. So how do we win if we get everything in the world but it costs us our lives? Maybe you know people who have worked really hard and they have all the signs of success, have whatever they want, whatever the amount is, working long hours, and on the surface it looks like they have it all, until maybe they find out the people they love feel ignored or sacrificed to fill the bank account. Or maybe we amass a fortune and then worry about whether it's enough. Having more than we ever dreamed we'd have, and in falling prey to the myth of scarcity while we're swimming in abundance. Jesus' words of love and warning, how do you win if you get everything in the world and it costs you your life? They can very quickly start to sound like an indictment, an accusation of some kind. Now, these are hard words for us living in a place like this because we live in one of the wealthiest counties in the nation. One of the binds for us is, if we can create our own kingdoms of power and self-reliance, why would we want the kingdom of God? So who or what will be our God? The real living God who comes to us in Jesus, or the golden calves that we have made with our own hands? Here's the real problem. God's ways and the ways of the world are at odds with each other. Our society says amassing wealth is a sign of success. It says materialism and greed is good. Jesus says, don't be owned by your stuff. Don't sell your soul for more money. Instead, share some of it. Use it to love others. Food for the hungry, coats for the cold, shelter for the homeless. Not for its own sake, but as one of the ways we share God's love for others in Christ. So does this mean we should get rid of everything we have if we're going to follow Jesus? Of course not. Jesus does not want us to become impoverished. That kind of all-or-nothing thinking comes out of our defensiveness. It's a false choice that wants us to believe that there is only meaning in our stuff and that we have no responsibility toward others. But remember, Jesus never said being wealthy is bad. Jesus had some very wealthy friends. Money itself is morally neutral. It is not good or bad. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And that is the problem. What matters then is our values and our beliefs about money and how we use it. When we use some of it to bring healing and hope, the thing that has the power to take meaning from life from us becomes the very thing that brings hope to others. It brings meaning and new life back to us. We cannot feed the hungry or house the homeless if we have nothing. That's the kind of thing that our offerings and making sure this church is here as a channel of God's grace does. And you and I, we have an amazing amount of power in our hands. We have the tools to feed hungry people, to care for the poor and work for the unemployed and rescue victims of hurricanes and care for the hopeless and sick and the lonely and the dying and the hated, all of the least and the lost and the last. But notice, none of that is about money per se, is it? No. Money is just a tool to help bring them what they need. We don't ship food to El Salvador. We don't ship money to El Salvador. We ship food there. We don't just write a check for mission support and partnerships, but we also go. We serve. We participate. We learn. We grow. Money just helps us get there when we use it to bring healing and hope and life, signs of what Jesus called the kingdom of God. See, Jesus turns it all upside down. He's in the world. Winning means losing our souls. Getting ahead means getting behind. We cannot have it all. Another way I've heard it is, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Jesus calls us to move beyond self-centered living. He teaches us that the way we live our lives matters. Every single thing we do is a statement of faith. Now, to be clear, Jesus is not out to ruin our fun. He is out to protect us, to keep us safe. My grandkids love my dog. But I do not trust my dog with my grandkids if I'm not there. When they come and visit, particularly the younger ones, they like to stick their hands inside the kennel. Oh, no. You can't do that. That's the dog's house, okay? I tell them, don't stick your hand in there or you might get bit. Am I out to ruin their fun? No. Am I saying don't pet the dog? No. I'm saying don't annoy him. Because when dogs get annoyed, sometimes they nip. Jesus is not out to ruin our fun. He is out to keep us safe. It is not bad to have nice things. It is not bad to be well off. What is bad is to be well off and uncaring toward others. So Jesus lets us in on the secret to having a life and keeping our lives before we lose our way. But it doesn't end there. Even if we have become lost in our stuff, even if we have fallen down the well of materialism, it is not too late. Jesus continues to welcome us back. Most of his stories about people falling prey to the problems of wealth are also stories about redemption and repentance. It is never too late. This is a big deal. It's about who and what is going to be God in our lives. Jesus calls us to live differently than the ways of the world. Don't sacrifice yourselves on society's altar of work and money and success. There's no life in it. Any attempt to have it all is going to cost us our lives one way or another. But when we combine the world's riches with God's love, compassion, and mercy, and being channels of God's grace, miracles do happen because we find that we are changed too. We become more free, making more room in our lives for joy and peace. Jesus doesn't want our money. He wants our hearts and our souls. So he warns us about the thing that gets in the way most often. Don't lose your life for more money. It's just a tool. Instead, use it to make a difference. Keep your life for loving and being the ones through whom miracles happen. Who do you say that I am? Who will I be for you? Who will be your God?